I'm glad I'm on my way to the place that God has made for his people. I want to call your attention to a scripture reading found in the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18, and I want to us to begin reading together there with the first verse and read about the first six verses. I want to speak about something that the scriptures talk to us about today that is also been recorded in a verse of song that I've always been very fond of. We need to yield our lives to the Lord. And in Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning with verse 1, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And I want to say this, that as much as at times that as much as people may not want to acknowledge it, may not want to even admit it, but God is still on the throne. And he still has us in his hands. And in connection with these verses that I read from that 18th chapter of Jeremiah, I want to use a text verse that's found in the 64th chapter of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 64, in the 8th verse, it says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." Now, I know that you have read this. I know that you've heard me say this. You've heard other preachers say this. But when we think about God, we know that we are, with God, we are talking about a self-existent and self-sufficient being. But with us, that's not true. Without God, we don't even exist, because the Bible says that it's in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. But the 90th Psalm, in reference to God, says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And that's in the 90th Psalm in verse 2. And so God does not exist in us. We exist in him. And Isaiah said here that God is our Father, that we are but the clay, and that he is the potter. And I don't really know and don't really understand, because I've never attempted it, I don't know what it actually is to take clay and use a potter's wheel. I've seen people do it. But, you know, there are people that can take, speaking just from a natural point of view, there are people that can take clay and they can use their hands and they can take something that really doesn't look like anything. It's just a chaotic mass of clay and mold it into a vase or a cup or something like that looks beautiful. And that is useful. And, you know, something you could even make something that you could put flowers in or put something in to drink. And you can take that clay that is without form and the potter can shape that into something that can be used. And that's what the Lord can do and will do with our lives if we will let Him. And Isaiah spoke about that we are the clay, that God is the potter, that we are the work of His hands. And, you know, I have tried, and I think this is right, I have tried to encourage young Christians to pray, you know, when they get to the point where they begin to make adult decisions, especially when they reach that point, to pray to the Lord about direction, to ask God to direct them when it comes to things such as an occupation or college or whatever that it may be. It's advisable and it's very important to seek the will of the Lord and be in the center of His will and be what God would have you to be, because that way you can spend your time on earth in the best way possible. You know, to be what God would have you to be is the best way to spend your short life here on the earth. And I want to say this, and let me assure you of this, that God can make more out of you than you can ever think of making out of yourself. God can do a better job with you than you can do with yourself. I mean, it's easy for us to have all sorts of ideas, all sorts of ambitions, and all sorts of things that we think is right. But God knows what is right, and He knows exactly how to make of us what He would. And so when we read about in the Scriptures, in Genesis, I believe Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we read how that God took dust. He just took dust from the ground. And the Bible tells us, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, what that breath is having reference to is spirit. God formed the body of Adam from the dust, and He breathed His spirit into him. And then, at that point, He became a living soul. And as James tells us in James chapter 2, verse 26, that when the spirit leaves our body, that's really what happens to us when we face natural death. The spirit leaves the body, and then that body is lifeless again, just like Adam's body was before God breathed that spirit into him. And so God made us. He made the human race. If you look at all of us, you know, sitting here today in body, it's amazing for me to think about this, and it's amazing for me to think about all that the human family has accomplished in this world from the time that God created the human family. And that God made us out of nothing but dust. And the Bible tells us, as far as our bodies are concerned, that's what we're made from, that's what we are, and when we die, that's what we return to. We go back to the dust. The outward man goes back to the dust from where he was taken. And so, you talk about somebody that is wise and somebody that's powerful, that they could just take dust. You know, we sweep dust up and off the floor and we throw it away. And God took dust from the ground and made a living, human, functioning being just from the dust of the ground. And so, you know, if God could create life in that way, then we have to know that He can continue to shape us and He can continue to fashion us into what He would have us to be. I want you to look at this verse that's found in the 119th Psalm. King David certainly believed in this. In the 119th Psalm, in the 73rd verse, he said this concerning the Lord. He said, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." Thy hands, God's hands, have made me and fashioned me. And he said, "Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandment." Let's go ahead while we're here in the Psalms and let's look at the 100th Psalm and see here that we are told that we are only sufficient in the Lord. In the 100th Psalm, in verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Now, you know, man has come along like he has with so many things. Man has come along and he has come up with so much of his own absurd type of thought, his own absurd reasoning, and has said that, that we came into existence, that the human family came to be some other way. But don't listen to that, because that's not true. We are not here by evolution. We are not here. The human race did not evolve into the human race from some other type of lower life form. We are the work of the hands of Almighty God. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. If it would have been to us to make ourselves, the human race would have never existed on the earth, because we just simply would not have had the power. I challenge any of us to take dust from the ground and try to make a human being out of it. I'll tell you what, you're never going to get it done. But God was able to do it, wasn't He? And so as we are told here in the Scriptures, as we are told there in the writings of Isaiah, that we are the work of God's hands. And you know what? The wisest people that have ever lived on the earth. Listen, in the third proverb, we are told to put our trust in the Lord. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Now, you know, one way or another in this life, we're going to spend our time on some type of path. And there are people, there are far too many people that are walking on the path of destruction. Jesus speaks about that. He says, "Straight is the way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it, but broad is the way that leads unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And this world is filled with people that are walking that path of destruction. They're on their way to everlasting hell and torment, And sadly enough, in comparison, those that seek the Lord and seek that straight way and that narrow gate, in comparison to those who seek the other way, Jesus said they are few. They're few. But I'm sure thankful today that I found it. I'm sure thankful that I sought the Lord. I don't have any regrets about seeking the Lord. I don't have any regrets about being a child of God. I'm thankful for that today above everything else in life. But I have also, by His help, found out through the years, as you have, that if you will really turn yourself over to the Lord, if you will really yield right away to God and let God have His way with you, He can make of you what you could never make of yourself. God can do that. You know, I already admitted this, that I don't know anything about actual pottery. I don't know anything about using the potter's wheel and clay and making a vase. I've never done it. Maybe some of you have. But I'm persuaded to believe that there are things, concerning the clay that would be desirable to the potter. I'm sure that there are certain consistencies. I'm sure that there is water and air and things of that nature, that there are certain consistencies that the potter would want in order for the clay to be workable and to be able to make it into what he would have it to be. But listen, God works with clay. When we're talking about our lives, when we're talking about us, God is working with clay that is rebellious. He's working with clay that's hard-headed. He's working with clay that has a tendency to want to have its own way and be stubborn and not yield to the potter. And we have a lot of proof of that in the Scriptures. And I think if we're honest, we have proof of that in ourselves, in our lives. Oh, we think we know what's right, don't we? But God is the one who knows what's right. And, we are going to, I've got a feeling that Brother Strode likes this song because I've heard him talk about it several times. The song, What Will I Leave Behind? And it talks about in that song, when we're gone from this world, what kind of legacy will we leave? What will we leave behind to people? Will we leave something behind that's useful to somebody else? Or will we have wasted our time here in a way that people that come after us cannot really glean anything from our lives that will help them along the way? And I'll tell you what, folks, what we leave behind when we are gone from this life, whether it's going to be useful to people or not, is going to be dependent upon, did we yield ourselves to God while we lived? Did we let the Lord mold us and make us? Did we turn our lives over to God and let Him make of us what He would have us to be? Or did we want to be self-sufficient in that? Did we just choose our own path? I've admitted this. I know you've heard many of my brothers admit this. I didn't choose the ministry. God came knocking on my heart and called me to preach. And when He did, at first, I was resistant. And I've heard so many confess that. And sometimes I wonder, who do we really think we are? I mean, who do we think we are that we would know better than God? that we would have a better idea than him. You know, how many times have you heard a man say this, that God called me to preach, but I felt like that there was something else that I wanted to do. I didn't want to do that. I didn't think that was what was good for me. And, you know, when we do those things, we might as well admit that we think we know better than the Lord does. We think we've got a better idea than what God does. God knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what to do with us. He knows exactly what He would have us to be. And He knows exactly how to take us and shape us and mold us and form us into what He would have us to be. And God will do that if we'll allow it. But we are so prone to argue. God perhaps has the worst possible clay to work with in working with the human family. You know, the natural clay, a lump of natural clay that a potter would take and use on the wheel, it won't argue with him. That clay won't be like Moses. When we read about there in the third chapter of Exodus, when God knew exactly what He wanted to do with Moses, when He appeared to him there in that burning bush, and he knew that He wanted him to go back to Egypt and to be the one to go stand before the Pharaoh and to tell him that he was to let the Israelites go, that they were God's chosen people, and he was to let them go, that they could come out there into the wilderness to worship God. And Moses began to make all sorts of excuses. And, you know, we can't say too much about Moses, can we? Because we're the same way. He just began to make all sorts of excuses to God about why he shouldn't be the one. Oh, I can't talk good, and all these things. If we will give way to the hands of the potter, he'll make with us what he would have us to be. And listen, we need to always remember that we're not anything without him. We're just not anything without him. And we can't do anything without him. And, you know, it's really of little consequence, honestly, when it comes right down to it, in the work of the Lord, it's really of little consequence who gets the credit for anything as long as God gets the glory. That's what really matters. That's what really counts, as long as God is honored, because without him we're nothing. Without him we could do nothing. We didn't save ourselves. We couldn't have saved ourselves. The Bible tells us, even concerning the salvation of our soul, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, God created us. Naturally, we are his creation. Our earthly life has been created by his hands. And if you've been born again, you've been created again. You've been created spiritually. You've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has done that, and we can't boast of any of it. You know, when I was in the womb of my mother, I didn't tell her to make sure that I was born with a certain color hair or a certain color of eyes. God chose all of that. He chose all of that. God's ways are better than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know what? There have been, I've seen it, perhaps you have too, even with saved people that wanted to go their own way. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't want to yield to what their Heavenly Father wanted them to be, and their lives ended up in a mess. In a mess. And certainly that can happen. And so I want to share this verse, another verse from Isaiah with you before I am finished. In Isaiah chapter 45, in the 9th verse, it says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands? Woe to the man that striveth with his maker." Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded, and still. It's so easy for us to get in God's way, isn't it? It truly is. We can get in his way. We need to be yielded and still, and to always remember that we're the clay. God is he's the workman. He's the potter. And he can take us and he can make us what he would have us to be. We are his creation, both naturally and spiritually. We that are saved are the sheep of his pasture, and he leads us in good places, doesn't he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is our shepherd. He is our potter. And we need to just yield to him. Let God have his way with your life. I'm going to make you a promise here today on the authority of God's word. Let God have his way with your life. And if he lets you live to old age, when you look back, you will not regret having given yourself to the Lord. You will not regret it. If you go your own way and follow your own ideas, the time will come, if God lets you get old, you'll look back and you'll have a lot of regrets. But you won't regret what you let the Lord make out of you. Brother Strode, if you would, let's have a song. I want to say this. If you're here today and you're lost, God can completely change you. He can create you in Christ Jesus and make a new creature out of you. And you'll have what some of the folks here testified of yesterday when they talked about how that God had saved them in the past. And he can make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, if you'll meet his conditions. While we stand and sing.
Number 194. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always.
One verse of two.